Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith, and I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. Thanks for joining us here at Solid Ground. And today, Pastor Brian Parrish continues his study entitled Living in the Light of the Lord's Return. And today, Pastor Brian picks up in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, addressing the issue of confidence in the Lord and contrasting that with our tendency to be anxious. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Look over at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Then he says, because of that, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. That's one thing that as you study the Word of God, God is on our side. If he's for us, who could be against us? You don't need to be troubled over the future. I have a peace, a confidence that the Lord is going to take care of things. And I had trouble, you know, about 9 months ago or so, and all this Y2K stuff came out. And Christians seem to be the biggest fools, I think, on the planet. They're like Chicken Little. The sky is falling, and, you know, nuclear bombs are going to go off, and there's going to be chaos in the street, and riot, and looting, and now you need to, you know, store up your food. And to me, it was like foolish. I was like, I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm prepared because I'm walking with the Lord, whatever may happen. And you get people on the radio. I think Duffy is one of them. He's an extremist. He's got some crazy ideas. There's a lot of good things that he says, but he's a sensationalist. I remember listening to Chuck Missler, too, and he really troubled me, the things that he was saying. And, you know, it just brought all this fear. And the Bible says the Lord's at hand, so if the end comes, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. God's in charge. And, you know, there's other pastors that I spoke with, and they say, what are you telling your church about Y2K? I said, I haven't said a thing about it. I'm preparing them by showing up every week and teaching them the Bible. If they don't catch it through that, then I don't really have much to say. And my wife played a little joke on me last Valentine's Day. She bought this 50-gallon thing that goes for water and gave that to me as a present. It was as a joke. But it's in my garage, sitting empty, knocked over. But there's not an anxiousness instead, but in everything by prayer and supplication. God would call us to prayer. The Lord's at hand, therefore pray. And my prayer is that God would stir my heart in the area of prayer with a greater fervency. And stir our heart as a church in the area of prayer. We have some prayer meetings that are listed in the bulletin, but we really need God's Spirit to draw us into a time of seeking after Him in prayer. That's what I believe God's putting in my heart for us as a congregation. And just as God stirred our heart in the area of worship, and I believe we'll continue to do even more, this is an area that needs to be strengthened. And I'm not asking just for one or two or certain prayer warriors, but as a congregation that we have a heart for prayer to seek after the Lord, that everyone would be a praying individual. I mean, as you read the Bible, obviously there's a great emphasis that's placed upon that. And I think we've taken it as optional. And I say, Lord, only you. You know, I don't want to try and drive people to pray out of guilt. I pray, God, by your Spirit, stir that within us. Stir up that spirit of prayer. You know, for everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. As you start praying about things, no matter what may be coming down the road, God's peace is going to guard your hearts. And you're going to be at peace no matter what, because you know the Lord is in charge. Look over at 1 Thessalonians, another end times passage. Paul speaks about the end times. He speaks about the rapture of the church there in verses 13 through 18 of chapter 4. And notice how he concludes in verse 18. He says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. And then also he speaks about the end times in verses chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And at verse 11, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. And so as he speaks on the end times, it's supposed to bring a comfort. Because God's in charge. God's in control. No matter what may happen, the Lord's bringing His plan and His purposes about. Look with me over at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. In light of the day approaching, it says we need to gather together. Doesn't say how often. It just says we need to gather together more often because the day is approaching. And here's what we're to do when we gather together. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's what we need, is that conversation that's going to stir each other's hearts to love and to good works. And that's the type of person that you want to be, is one that has your mind on the things of God. And those are things that you discuss. Those are things that you provoke in someone else's life because your mind is on the things of the kingdom of God. Then he goes on to say, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, I have the privilege to be at three services on Sunday morning, and then also to be here on Wednesday night, and you know, other times. And you say, well, that's your job. Well, okay, so I need to be here. But at the same time, I have the privilege to worship at all of those services. And God changes my heart more in the time of worship than at any other place in my experience with the Lord. And so as I gather together, I'm excited to come here because I know that we're going to worship the Lord. God is going to be present, and He is going to change my life. I need that. That's not optional in my life. And when that doesn't take place, the heart starts getting a little bit hard. I want to, as I said, be well-pleasing to the Lord. And I want my heart to be sensitive and yielded to the things of God. So I need to gather together frequently and spend time with you in worship and fellowshipping with one another and provoking one another to love and to good works, especially as we see the day approaching. Because it's going to go, as the Scripture says, from bad to worse. So we need to kind of have this little congregation, a little holy huddle, get the battle plans and our heart back in the right place. We're sent back into the world, and we come back and get renewed and rejuvenated. And we need that as the body of Christ, especially in this day and age in which we're living. We need to be able to come to a place where we are refreshed and restored. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, the Lord, I believe, I'm passionate about worship. First and foremost for God, because He's deserving of that. But second of all, we need to be touched by God in the inner man. We need that renewing, that rejuvenating. And as we spend time, as the Bible says, you draw near to God, God's going to draw near to you. And He's going to minister His love and His peace and His strength and His conviction as we're spending time in His presence. And we need that on an ongoing basis, not as a ritual to gather together as church, but we need to encounter the Lord. That song that we are singing tonight, "As Deep Cries Out to Deep," it was like something in the depth of my soul, I don't know how to describe, was just calling out to God, longing for Him. And as we're singing, "Come Lord Jesus," that was like a prayer that I was praying. Like, Lord, we need You. We are weak. We are desperate. We need You to fill this place and fill our inner man's with Your strength and Your power that we leave here changed and transformed. That's what it's going to take to survive and to live a life that's well-pleasing as we in spending time in the Lord's presence. And I pray that that would continue and increase. Look over at James chapter 5. Notice all these passages about the end times. Again, they're an exhortation for us on godly living and godly conduct. James chapter 5, verse 7. It says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. We need to be reminded that as we wait upon the Lord, we need to be patient in the ministry that God has called us to. Just like a farmer isn't going to throw the seed out and come out the next day and look for the fruits. He has to wait for the early rain and the latter rain, the work of God, the pouring out of His Spirit upon the ministry, and not give up so easily. I have found that anything we do in the kingdom of God, there's going to be a battle. And anything that's really good, there's going to be an intense battle. And we need to be patient and hang in there. And I've found that so often, right before there's this great blessing, here described like this latter rain or the early rain, the outpouring of God, there's a stirring that takes place. It's like all hell breaks loose to try and get you to stop doing what you're doing, to take your hand off the plow and just give up and quit. The work in a field is hard work. There's preparation. There's preparation of the soil. There's the sowing of the seed. There's the watering of it. Then there's the pulling out of the weeds. And there's the waiting for the growth, waiting for the rain. And ministry is like that as well. And as we come closer and closer to that time of the Lord's return, men's hearts are going to be going harder and harder. And so much more the need for prayer and patience and waiting upon the Lord. It says, you also be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another. He talks about the Lord's coming, and he says, don't grumble against one another. God would want us to walk in love, and he'd want us to be merciful and kind and generous and forgiving, quick to love, quick to forgive. There's going to be conflicts in the body of Christ. Anytime you get more than one person together, there's going to be problems. And the tendency is to grumble about that person. The scripture does say that better is open rebuke than love concealed. And if you start grumbling towards somebody, usually that grumbling comes out when someone else is around. Now you got two people that don't like that individual or think they're horrible. And that could spread. And then you distance yourself from that individual. You sit on one side of the church, they sit on the other. You find out what service they go to. I'm not going to go to that one. I'm going to go to the other one. That's not why we have more than one service here. But think on that. Don't grumble. It can be translated judge or being critical. Brethren, lest you be condemned. Judge not, lest you also be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. He doesn't need you to judge. He needs you to walk in mercy and be forgiving. God will take care of those situations. He says, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endured. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord. Isn't that interesting? You see the end that God intended all along. And so he persevered. That the Lord is very compassionate and mercy. But above all, brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, lest you fall.